Welcome to episode 64 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me is the Trinity, Matthew Aguilar.
What's up?
And Mr. Brandon Davis.
Dude, 64 episodes already?
Out of the office for like 50 of them.
But 64 episodes. Well, good job.
I know,
you guys.
We do things while you're out on the road, man. Things happen around here.
Such shame.
Can the
people just turn the air conditioning off while they're listening to this in the car with all that shade?
Those are just facts. I don't think you can qualify facts as shade. I think they're two different things.
Listen, congrats on 64 episodes, Kofi and Matt. You guys are killing it.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Kofi just—he never knows how to handle a compliment, but it's okay.
What are we gonna do for 100? What are you gonna do, Jim? Producer Jim Viscardi.
For 100? I don't know. We have to think of something big. We're coming up on it.
I feel like I'm gonna blink.
Oh, you two have plans for 100 for the 100th episode of Comic Book Nation?
Well, we would ask you too.
I'm sure.
Can we celebrate with almond flour?
R.I.P. Comic Book. Please? Now, let's move on.
Oh.
Here we go. We are going to be talking about today. The MCU is getting a new Hawkeye. We are going to be talking about some new horror trailers. We are going to be talking about everything Apple wants you to buy in the next year or so. And we are going to start a new fun thing that I feel is perfect for this crowd, which is called Grenade, which is where I toss a grenade in the room, and then we just let everybody try to fight it out before that thing goes off.
I wasn't prepped for this.
I know. That's the best kind of guess. That's the best kind of guest to have on the show, one who is totally unprepared. I said, you know, bag over the head, but they wouldn't let me do that kind of stuff. So now we just pop and we pull surprises on people. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to get into our news flash and talk about all this very wonderful stuff and pull the pin on our first grenade. Oh, you do not want to miss that. Stay tuned.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, so starting right at the top, the MCU is getting a new Hawkeye.
Yes.
And we are all excited. It is coming about in the series called Hawkeye for Disney Plus. And it is our fan favorite from the books, Kate Bishop. And she's going to be played by none other than Hailee Steinfeld.
Yay!
The critically acclaimed actress of Bumblebee will be starring as Kate Bishop.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, right, she was in Into the Spider-Verse.
I was just joking about Bumblebee.
She was Spider-Gwen.
That was me being...
Hey, she was good in Bumblebee.
I liked it. Yeah,
she was. Bumblebee.
Hailee Steinfeld's good in like just about everything she's ever been in.
She was great as the voice of...
I mean, but she basically could play her character from Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? You like it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a solid Kate Bishop. It seems solid with the fans. It's like...
I like it. I don't love it. Like, I get, like, I like it. Like,
well,
I'm happy with it.
Feelings about Hawkeye in general.
Like, I agree. I absolutely agree.
Stop it.
But, and she's the only reason, like, Kate Bishop is the only reason I care about this series in any respect anyway. So, like, I was happy with her. She'll be a good Kate Bishop. I wasn't, maybe it's not the
solid
actress that, it's not the
it's
actress
solid.
Maybe that went, oh, yeah, like, that's exactly what
in
I
in these
want.
Untested waters of these Disney Plus series, it's a very safe and solid choice, is what I would say. Hailee Steinfeld is able to knock anything out of the park. She's a pro. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she's got that Disney connection and love. I mean, and I feel like Hawkeye in the MCU, you have to be like a multiple threat actor to get that role. Like, Renner can act, he can sing. Hailee Steinfeld can act, she can sing.
Makes dope music videos.
Yeah, so there you go.
So does this mean we're going to get an album between the two of them?
There should be a duet scene. There should be a karaoke duet scene between Clinton Barton and Kate Bishop.
That's how they become friends.
Like, if there's just not a song that plays in the credits, that's their, like, a thing that they do.
You're the main
actors.
Attraction.
Missed opportunity.
Kate Bishop.
That is a missed opportunity. Yeah. That is some money that they're leaving on the table if they don't do that.
They also got a writer. The madman writer is writing the whole thing. Yeah. So obviously in the 5 years, Hawkeye has been cheating on his wife this whole time.
You're going to recycle an old Twitter joke like
that. It worked well on Twitter. I thought it would do well here.
I wasn't going to out that, but that I heard that before.
Nah, man. We let it play.
Couldn't let it go.
Everybody driving a car, pull over to the side so you can laugh safely. All right. Now that's a good one because, I mean, that is basically Mad Men in a nutshell. So.
I don't know what that
could
mean.
And we're hearing rumbles that a young Avengers series could be, this could all be kind of leading to a young Avengers series on Disney Plus, which is something we've started talking about ever since we started seeing the breadcrumbs drop. I mean, Kate Bishop is being introduced in the Hawkeye series. Ms. Marvel's getting her own series. Yes. Mm-hmm. There's so many announcements. I keep forgetting Witcher movies and Witcher series. So, I mean, I know Ms. Marvel was an actual Avenger, but like in the purposes of the MCU, this all feels like it could be.
Cassie Lang is out there. Emma Furman wants it.
Oh,
yeah. She wants to be back in the Marvel.
So, movies. Like, yeah, I mean, right there, we already have the foundation for like what is shaping up to be.
And then
you'll probably get Avenger
Hulkling
series.
And Wiccan in WandaVision.
I do love Wiccan.
Yeah.
And Hulkling, like that
whole
thing.
Yeah, I mean, and this just sounds like the Young Avengers Disney Plus series that will never be shown in Brazil is coming our way. that's a little topical joke about Brazil. Yeah.
Deep cut for the
Yeah, it's a deep cut for the listeners.
There's so much spice in this episode. Oh, yeah. First 10 minutes already.
Saucy today.
First grenade episode. This is what you want. So,
was that the grenade?
No,
not yet. You guys want the Young Avengers series? You guys, so, Brandon, you haven't said, are you happy with Hailee Steinfeld as Kate?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think she's super talented, I mean, in any artistic front. So, did I ever think, oh, Hailee Steinfeld, Kate Bishop before the casting? No, but when it came out, I was like,
there were a surprising number of people who did, though.
There were a few people.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
I did see people, not like Matt. Matt seems like okay with it. I saw a few people, I tweeted about this, and I got a few responses like, nah, keep it. And I was like,
what are you mad about?
What's wrong?
Like, I don't know.
First of all, who's standing Kate Bishop that hard? Second of all, like, who's hating
Kate? Hey, man, there's someone in our office who is a diehard Kate Bishop fan.
Well, I know.
Did Megan not like it?
No, she was excited.
She's excited.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. What's the Venn diagram?
How old is Hailee Steinfeld?
Love Kate Bishop that much, but dislike Hailee Steinfeld that much.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
She's like early 20s, right?
She is 22.
And how old do you think Kate Bishop's going to be?
22. Sorry.
That's about the age I would expect Kate Bishop to be.
They cast her at 22. She's probably going to be in this role for like 20 years.
Also, there's a aged up Monica Rambeau as well. And so, I would love for them to move her on over.
Yeah, Spectrum. So, like, yeah, we're just angling towards this. And it's like Young Avengers, they need some dudes at this point. They got all the ladies are circling up.
It'll be Sam Alexander. Sad for Marvel to beat DC at a legacy type.
Right? That makes no sense.
Or movie event. I mean, yeah, sure, you've got Titans on the DC Universe or whatever, but no one gives a shit about that.
I care about Titans.
I care about
Titans. Titans, but Jim. Nobody cares.
No legacies built around that. They're like outside of Rob, like the two were
outside of the main character of the show.
I'm pointing out that my entire plan for this episode was a Titans season premiere review, but I just totally forgot about it. So that's probably not a good sign for Titans.
I'm excited to see episode two.
What about next episode? Next episode we'll do the first two episodes and call that.
Can I get a one-word review?
Finale. That's the word. Yeah, I could
say. Oh, God.
It's not a premiere.
We'll talk about more of this later.
That's a great tease. But, like, yeah.
It's Jim's fault.
Yeah, I know. All right, so, Young Avengers, Hawkeye, we're all excited about that. Moving right along. We're going to hop over to the horror side of things. We got a horror movie trailer this past weekend with the release of It. It was the final trailer for Dr. Sleep, which is the Shining sequel starring Ewan McGregor. I hadn't seen this online. Somehow I got out of here on Friday, never saw that online, just went to the theater to see It. With my wife and saw it and like really enjoyed that.
What's
trailer.
That like? I feel like that doesn't happen at all anymore. Of like actually walking to a theater and going, oh my God, I didn't know that preview was
there. Warner Brothers has been doing that for a bit now, right? They did it with that Christopher Nolan
Tenet.
Yeah, Tenet. Yeah. That was also shown. But that doesn't make any damn sense. It's just dude from Black Klansman standing around with tense Nolan music playing and being like, it's genius. Like,
did you get the Birds of Prey thing in front of yours?
Yeah, we were going to talk about that, but I shifted it to
to next episode.
Okay.
It's going to be our next grenade. We'll be Birds of Prey. It wasn't fitting for our first grenade today. But I saw it. It was exactly what you saw online.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll talk about that next time too.
Oh, man.
So we saw Dr. Sleep trailer. And yeah, we talked about this when the trailer first came out. And we were all shocked about how much it leaned into the actual movie, The Shining.
Yeah.
And this trailer shocks you even more about how much of the Overlook Hotel, Stanley Kubrick, Shining, and all of that is really kind of baked into the DNA of this movie, which adapts Stephen King's sequel novel, which is much different from Stanley Kubrick's film adaptation of The Shining. But it looks like they're merging both, and it looks really, really good. Like, yeah, I'm actually kind
of I think, like, the interesting part of that is that, like, I mean, you all, everyone knows that Stephen King hated the movie, The Shining. And so for them to be, like, really sort of leaning into the Kubrick Shining thing is really like, oh, okay, maybe we're getting King coming to terms with, well, it's a thing that happened and a lot of people liked it. So
right. I was going to ask, like, what is the, is money ultimately the thing that really did it? Or is it just time and going, okay, you know what? Like,
maybe I would say it's a little bit of both.
Cause after that It money came in, it'd be like, I gotta play to those cracks.
But he's always Stephen King's reached that point where he's getting older and he's like, I need money and I don't want
to
write for it.
He's getting that cameo money now.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? Yeah.
So, it's an interesting, but it's a great kind of way to bridge the gap between, you know, Stephen King fans and, you know, Shining the movie fans. And it really gives this movie what looks to be like a third act. And that's going to be really exciting and kind of thrilling and really play up those of us who grew up with that movie and were terrified. And the recreation of scenes from that are pretty spot on.
I'm excited to just see Ewan McGregor in, you know, that kind of movie.
Yeah, like it's kind of like a troubled. And if you don't know, the story is he's Danny Torrance from The Shining. He's all grown up. He kind of goes around and tries to use The Shining to kind of help people, I think, that are dying or something like that. Where he meets another girl who has an even more powerful Shining than him. And he kind of has to teach her and prepare her for the fact that there are these beings out there that, you know, consume this power, this psychic power from people. And it's great to see Rebecca Ferguson from Mission Impossible playing like this kind of type of, not a vampire, but like a vampire-ish type entity. She looks great as a villain, which is, you know, her whole MO in Mission Impossible is whether she's good or bad. And
yeah, that now she really gets to lean in.
Yeah, she gets to really lean into it, and it looks pretty good. And so I'm actually surprised. I feel like this is going to be a dark horse kind of surprise for the fall season. And Dr. Sleep, don't sleep on that. Check out that trailer, comicbook.com horror. Yeah, see what I did there. Next was the Purge Season 2 trailer. You know me, I have an unhealthy like of The Purge, and also the movies and TV show, which I also enjoy. And
you
the
really
TV
like
show.
Man.
Yeah, the TV show's coming back and for Season 2. And I'm really psyched about this. And the reason I keep bringing this up is this is the first time we get to see actually something different from this series that I think is an interesting hook. Which is, it begins on the last hours of Purge Night and follows this set of different characters who find themselves in these really messed up situations and then follows them over the course of the next year as they prepare for next Purge Night. And the whole question is, is this whole thing, the Purge, really something you can contain to just one night with the drastic things that happen or what happens the rest of the year with people carrying around this trauma, these kind of tensions, or just, you know, just itching to get back and get at somebody that they really want to purge. And if you watch the Season 2 trailer, it's pretty good. It's the best so far. And it kind of lays out a lot clearer, like, what this whole seasonal arc is going to be. Derek Luke, who you guys remember from various things that Derek Luke has been in, plays a guy who's almost assassinated. He's a wealthy guy with his wife who's almost assassinated on Purge Night. So for his storyline, it'll be a mystery. Like, who's trying to kill him?
Yeah.
Or are they going to wait till the next purge when they can kind of get away with it clean? Or are they going to try again in the time, in the interim between those purges? Max Martini, who's from The Unit and a bunch of other stuff, is playing a guy who pulls a heist on Purge Night. And he's trying to kind of prepare for a bigger job on the next Purge Night. That's when I'll probably go sideways. And my favorite, Joel Allen, is this frat boy who goes out on Purge Night thinking it's going to be this thrill and comes away from it scarred and is looking to go out next Purge Night and be a lot more prepared. and his storyline intersects with that dude wearing the God mask from like The Purge 2.
Okay.
So there's all these little references to the movies. Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting, right? Like, I'm not just pulling TV shows out of my butt.
Okay? No, no,
it's like, I'm trying to tell you guys things you should be watching and you probably may not be aware of, but like, yeah, The Purge series on USA, and you don't have to see season one, which is a great part. Okay. It's an anthology series, almost like American Horror Story. So this is a completely different story. You can just jump in, but if you're a fan of The Purge or you're just looking for something to watch, I think season two is going to be something special to check out. And it's coming out in perfect Halloween season time. It'll be here on 10/15. So
I stopped at two. After two, I stopped. Purge two. So I didn't. I kind of was like, okay, I'm done. Like, I don't need three. And all, I think there was election a spinoff
year.
And all this stuff.
There's election year, the first Purge.
Okay, so I stopped at two. Yeah. Can I can hop into this?
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
like,
that's the great
cool?
thing about the series is it's not a brain teaser. Like, it's the Purge.
I love the premise.
I love the premise
of seeing, though, the lives in between.
Yeah.
And seeing how
and
that affects. That's
exactly why I think this season's going to be something special. So,
might hook me.
Before we get to the end of the Purge series with the next film, be sure to check out that trailer also on comicbook.com.
Purge.
Now, moving on to some tech stuff. Apple had one of their, I don't even know what to call these anymore, keynotes, announcement, events, blah, 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 where they sell you Apple stuff and act like it's a world-changing thing since Steve Jobs died, but it's not.
This is the best iPhone we've ever created. No shit, it's the newest one.
So, we got a new iPhone. We got some stuff, but the things we're here to talk about are, of course, the entertainment stuff, which is the Apple TV Plus, Apple TV Plus, which is their streaming service that they're launching. This thing's coming. It's going to be $4.99. It launches November 1st, which will be perfect time for me not to give a crap while I get
you said, man, the enthusiasm you're delivering this with is amazing.
I mean, I'm just going to keep it real mode today. Like, yeah.
But it's interesting because part of that, too, is they're giving it away for free.
For a year,
year to anyone who buys
a new device,
a Mac hardware thing, which is like
so spend $2,000 and get this thing for free.
Like that's going to be the way that they're going to goose their numbers. It'll be real interesting to see how many people who buy an iPhone this year forget that they are also enrolled in Apple TV Plus and just let it start hitting their account in a year from now.
I mean, that's the magic, right? I mean, once they get you in the ecosystem.
As somebody who just discovered that Tidal was charging me for 2 years.
Seriously?
Yeah, on auto pay from that they never canceled. Like, yeah it's easy to let this stuff slip.
I have so many audiobooks because I kept forgetting to cancel Audible. And then I use it, the credit, because I'm like, well, I have it, and then I forget again. Okay. And so,
So basically the general consensus, even in this room, is no one cares about Apple TV Plus.
Well, I mean, I've seen one trailer for one thing that they've done.
There's not enough.
Look, here's the real benefits of this.
Break it down.
Is basically your ability to kind of more seamlessly move TV across devices, which, you know, anybody with a third grade level of technology knowledge can probably do, like right now, and the whole plan that you can share with an entire family. Like, your whole family.
That's
can watch,
cool.
Yeah.
That part is really cool.
But you could only have, like, four people in on your family.
No, it's...
Or is it?
I mean, even that is enough.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty...
What kind of families are you having?
Yeah, I know. Like, how many people are watching it at the same time that aren't in the same room?
Will Apple, like, buy the next movie studio?
Six.
Will Apple buy the next movie studio?
Yeah, like, how is Apple going to generate enough content for me to want to pay $4.99 to subscribe to their streaming service?
I mean, they've got the cash. I don't think they necessarily need
to
buy a studio.
And I think it's the demographic. Like, they want people who are heady, Apple-type people. Like,
well, this is perfect for... Look, I'm honestly surprised when I go to family members' houses or friends' houses and they have an Apple TV. Because I forget it exists.
So
just,
I love it. I love my... I can't live without it.
Exactly. So those people, though, are in... Right, they're in, and they'll look at that as value to something, the ecosystem they're already in. You aside,
I
feel like
mainstream.
I'll
probably use it for Disney Plus.
Right, I mean
that's again. I think this is a lifestyle brand. Apple's a lifestyle brand. As somebody who grew up in a household where using Apple all my life, even when the 80s when it was ludicrous to do so,
right.
Like it's a lifestyle brand. My family's never switched once, and I feel like that's the way for a lot of people. So. People whose houses you go to and it's just full of Apple crap, yeah, like everywhere. Like, that's a lifestyle.
I mocked those stupid headphones, and now I see so many people wearing them.
AirPods?
Yes.
They're awesome. Still don't like them.
When they were announced, I went, I don't need this. Fix your battery. Don't give me wireless headphones. I can go buy those. And now everybody I see,
it's truly
no cord. Yes. Yeah. So
people jump in front of Subways.
It's going to be the exact same thing with this. You're going to see a bunch of people adopt it. And it's just that Apple prints money at this point. I don't care personally.
My thing is, I think they're the people who are the kind of create, like the Apple types, I would say, are going to watch this type of content. Like, they're going to anything that gives them a more hermetically sealed Apple.
For C that's now available on
the Bird Box sequel.
But like, okay,
I agree.
Again,
they need more content.
I don't think you're the target audience. Yeah, for sure. This. I think it's a.
So
sci-fi,
who is? Because nobody here.
It's a sci-fi show.
Yeah,
we love sci-fi here at comicbook.com.
I think there's a certain
you like a kind of. Sci-fi.
And we love Jason Momoa here at comicbook.com.
I think people who like who write OA dissertations about the OA will like something like.
But I think there's a difference.
Apple, and just Apple's a lifestyle brand. Like, I'm watching Apple originals.
I think there's a difference between Apple fans like you and me, because I straddle that. I will never have a PC. Like, I will always have a Mac computer. Like, that, I will not.
Yeah, I agree.
I've been doing that for a long time, and I will not go back. But phones, I tend to go Android. I tend to bounce. So I'm not Apple all the time, everything. But there is a big tier of fans of Apple that are that, and they will adopt this.
And the ability add TV and make it hermetically sealed in their Apple bubble will be the appeal.
Sure, but I mean even
all of the Apple products already allow me to use all of the other streaming services.
But that too, but I use only Apple products. Like, we're saying like the Apple brand, right? Like, I imagine like those people to me feel like the same people who love everything that HBO puts out.
Yeah, they do. And that's what Apple's trying to create. They're not going for like Netflix. They're trying to create that prestige brand.
Sure, but
so
HBO,
the morning
but HBO
show
already is like has that back catalog, and I feel like more and more that aspect of new services is truly a very appealing part. It's why people are super upset that Friends is no longer on Netflix and things like that. Then like Apple's not going to have that. They're only going to have their new stuff.
But if that
right now, I mean, right now,
yeah.
But if that new stuff hits,
yeah, and they're rolling out time, quite a few things. I mean, if you look at our list on comicbook.com,
I don't know. You need a catalog.
A new series. I mean, it's like how much are you going to watch?
You need a catalog.
You do.
They don't have any back catalog.
But that's also a very small amount of money.
Think about
too.
How
we're
Netflix
talking $4.99.
Netflix was built on other people. Like, they weren't creating anything when they launched the streaming service.
And I'd be interested to see modern streaming services what the actual percentage of user time and bandwidth is. Looking at back catalogs of things that aren't like ultra popular TV shows.
Yeah.
And like at a time, maybe 5 ultra popular TV shows.
I don't know. I think most
the rest of that Netflix catalog is the stuff people complain about scrolling through. Okay.
I mean,
sure, a lot of it because there's so much there. But Netflix, like most stuff people watch, is going to be The Office, Parks and Rec, New Girl, Friends. Like, and
you
then,
those
like,
are
five
yeah, those are huge.
That's my point. That's
those
my
are built-in
though.
Audiences. Like, those
right.
are
that's
giant.
My point.
And those
Apple
are all
doesn't
start
have
to fall away from Netflix
but
in the coming years. Like, all of that's going to go.
Nobody's going to have all that in one spot though anymore, except for Disney. Disney's going to own half of everything.
Yeah,
but
all going back to their home studios for their streaming services. Like, yeah.
But now we're at that point where people are going to have to start stacking these subscriptions and that's gonna
someone's gonna
that's
have to
okay.
go.
People are so like against that, but
no,
it's still
it's
much
okay.
cheaper than your cable bill.
Yes, it is. My cable bills.
You get Disney, Hulu, Netflix, and Apple TV is significantly cheaper than your cable bill.
I have 4 streaming services, 5 now, right now, and it's not even close to what I pay for my cable.
with all of these prices and whatnot, I'm looking at that WWE subscription, being like, if that ain't dropping soon. That one's going to be the first to go.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's one of the most expensive ones.
It is.
For like what you get, fine.
Especially with them doing that weird straddle on USA and WWE Network now with NXT.
Yeah, it's like $12.
All right, now that we're nice and primed and everybody's a little raw, this is a good time for the
here
grenade.
It is.
Yeah. So today, for our first grenade topic, this came up out of an article, and these are not essentially articles, they're discussions that kind of come around articles.
Do we have
what a
sound
grenade
effects
is.
To this?
No, I mean, like, that's my sound effect for a grenade pull. But here's my grenade. So, Todd Phillips, director of Joker, was asked if Joker would ever cross over with Robert Pattinson's, like, Batman universe, to which he gave a resounding hell no. My grenade question to you guys is, Is that the smart approach? But if Joker is successful, and if the Batman is successful, would you want to see those two things kind of meet and reestablish like a new Batman-Joker rivalry for the live-action movie?
I have zero...
Now, this is an interesting question, obviously, because one of us up here has actually seen true. Joker, which is Mr. Brandon Davis, mm-hmm. which is why I thought I'd toss him in here today and then toss this grenade in the room. Welcome. So, BD, take it away.
I want to see the Joker and Batman together. I don't think this Joker would be one that would make sense to go against Batman. Like, this version is just very, very, very different. And I don't want to, like, I mean, you read the leaked script, I think. But it's just, like, it's not a comic book character. He's not a character who can meticulously plan to take down a superhero.
Well, but right? Like, isn't it still... Like, without giving spoilers away, it's like...
It would be a change of character for him to have motivations and to develop manipulative plans. Hmm. He just kind of exists, and he descends into madness. And, I mean, the first thing I thought after the movie was it would be really cool if they found a way to make it happen where it fits and it stayed true to the character, but I think that's tricky. I mean, it would take a very talented writer... And I'm not saying it's impossible. I loved Joker. I would love to see more of this character if they did it justice and continued it in a way that it worked without ruining this character they built. But I feel like this character they built might be only good for a one-time thing.
Well, they've said, I mean, to be devil's advocate, Phillips has also said that he and Joaquin already have ideas that they've been kicking around for a sequel.
It's a double-edged sword because this is such a cool one-time thing, but it's going to make so much money. It's going to be so successful, and people are going to love it. A few people are going to hate it, I think, but mostly people are going to love it. And the inevitability of that is Warner Brothers is going to call Todd Phillips and say, hey, we want another one. And Todd Phillips will probably be like, nah, that was once. And they'll be like, but here's $100 million. He'll be like, ah, got a script.
Yeah, the dump truck full of money never fails.
Yeah, so the old dump truck of money might make this.
That's a lot. That's a way of swinging people a lot. That bucket full.
I have convictions.
I have zero faith that Warner Brothers will have show any restraint at trying to find some way to put them together.
Yeah, if this is successful and Batman's successful, like yeah, I don't see where they have the stop button. Like where they
but then they have.
We're talking about the House of Bad. I'm not saying that this is a good idea. Yeah. This is what I love about tossing grenades. I don't have to have an opinion.
But I don't think they'll have. I mean, then you have two successful franchises. Don't screw them both up. Like, keep them. That's what they've done in the past, and they've screwed up all of their stuff, and it took them so long to dig themselves up.
And the natural inclination is you're going to want to see Joker in a Batman movie if this is a new franchise.
But I want to see Matt Reeves' Joker. I don't want to see his Joker. That Joker was developed specifically for this universe that Todd Phillips created.
But audiences
can't handle that.
It could work.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Really? You hurt Moon Knight.
Got hit with a grenade blast.
No, I think you underestimate the intelligence of people.
You're far overestimating the intelligence.
I'm saying no, they can understand that one is separate and one is not.
Most people I know still think the X-Men were part of the Avengers world.
Then you know stupid people.
I know that says about their intelligence, not everybody else's.
There are people expecting to see Jared Leto's Joker show up in Birds of Prey.
And those people are stupid too. It's clear.
Dude, if you talk to people who don't go to comic, like if you go to a Titans football game,
pay attention to the movie you just watched and read the internet once every 6 months and you'll see something.
But you can't expect people to go online.
This is ridiculous.
What happens when a grenade goes off in the room?
Like, don't feed me that. No, they're intelligent enough to handle it.
That's wrong.
That is so wrong.
Hell, it is. Sorry.
Do you know what time we're living in?
Yes, I do.
People are altering weather maps with Sharpies. Like, this is not the age of reason.
I'm not saying there aren't stupid people. There are plenty. There are absolutely plenty. But I don't make decisions based on what stupid people think.
But Matt, it's not a stupid thing. It's just a, like...
It is. It is. Yes, it is. They have clearly told you in numerous ways. Yes, they have. The studio has said numerous times that this was created as... alone, like the Joker
alone.
They don't
put that in the movie trailer?
No clue.
Yeah, they don't.
Oh my God, then she doesn't read it. She's a little stupid too.
Okay, here's something maybe bring this down.
Sorry.
So you told us the story about what happened when your wife saw the Joker.
Yes.
So I took my wife and I saw it. Like I told you, we saw Dr. Sleep. Well, they also played the final trailer was Joker.
Yes.
And she didn't, and I didn't tell her what it was. I had never shown it to her. And I just used her as my, you know, market research as I tend to do.
Yeah.
So I just sat there and watched her the whole time because when you watch the trailer again and you don't know and you're in a theater with regular people, they have no idea what this movie is when it starts playing. Like, what they don't understand what is happening. Literally up until the moment he says, hey, Murray, when you introduce me, can you introduce me as Joker?
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, oh!
And then like, after the movie's done.
But I'm just saying, so that's like, I mean, when you're just, and my wife didn't either. And by the time she was done, ironically, she said what your wife said, which it was too freaky for her.
Yeah,
it's
a little freaky.
She wanted to see that.
That's a little real.
About a real
sorry, by the way, I'm sorry, Mama Viscari.
but like,
I didn't
mean
you're stupid.
So I just think that there is some merit, and I don't know if it's stupidity, but like, yeah, the awareness is not there entirely. So like, that's the kind of level of awareness that I always try to remember is out there in the general public. Like, well, people have to watch that trailer.
I get that, but I also don't go...
Especially with how fragmented the DC universe is under the guiding hand of Warner Brothers.
Which is what they're trying to clean up. So then why go muddy the waters again?
But that's what I'm saying. I think that's what we're saying, though. Is like, they're... A lot of general moviegoers have been conditioned to this shared universe-esque type of superhero thing. Marvel happens in one bucket, DC happens in another.
Yes.
And because you're having a movie like Birds of Prey come out that is still a remnant of the old guard world that has its own Joker, and then you're saying, oh, but there's a new Batman movie that's coming out that happens, you know, outside of all this. And then there's this Joker movie that's happening outside of all this. Like, we know that because we live and breathe it every day. Diehard fans live and breathe it every
day. Yes, but I also...
The movie is being like, whoa, did they just reboot something? Like,
okay, but that's not... You're drawing a very clear line, and that's not everybody. There's
we're
I talk to
everybody.
No,
it's most
but
people.
It's no, it's not. It's not. It's
amount.
Split because I talk to people who don't live and breathe this stuff every day. And they know more than what you are giving credit for. They don't know everything. They don't read every stupid theory we write. But they know enough. Oh, that's the new one that that guy from the Apes movie is making. Oh, cool. That's like by itself, right? I've gotten that from several people who do not read our site on a regular basis. You are assuming that they know nothing. That is not the case. They know a little. They don't know a ton. And I have enough faith in people to be able to go, oh yeah, that's really not like this at all.
I think what we're in, the point I'm saying is, I think that people may know something, even if they know something now, but I think things change when people see a movie they like, and they don't tend to want to let go of what they like. And so like whatever Warner Brothers plans are now, if people see Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, love Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, it's going to be the Heath Ledger thing all over again.
But it's theirs. That's fine. If people want it, so what? Sorry, you don't always get what you want. Like, I'm so done the catering to the lowest common denominator.
We want to see this Joker in a movie with, you know, this Batman. Like, I just think that Warner Brothers is not the studio that's going to be... Like, hold up, artistic credit, homie. We're not doing that.
I don't think it's artistic credit.
So you haven't seen the movie yet. I'm just curious. You haven't seen the movie yet. Assuming you go in and you really like the Joker, you like Joaquin Phoenix's performance, you have no idea what's coming in the Batman movie, or you know as much about the Batman movie as anybody else in this room does. Why would you preemptively say no?
Because I want Matt Reeves to do what he wants to do with Batman, come up with his own Joker. This was always designed, if this was designed at one point to link to everything, and then they decided, well, let's split them off. We're talking a different scenario. That's not how these were created. The one was created to be a part of something else, and this one was created as an isolated thing. It was supposed to always hover over there by itself. You'd be shoehorning, no matter how good you are, at writing, at crafting a universe, it's always going to be something that was done after the fact, not organic. So it's going to be not as good if you just kept them separate, let them do what they want, and we get two franchises instead of one mishmash disaster that then they'll reboot in a couple other years anyway. I'd rather just have them separate. And it's more money for Warner Brothers.
I don't like it like when they try to retroactively like contrive something and shoehorn it in and...
Typically, no. Like Captain Marvel did
that.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, but
yeah,
there were.
Be my next
but
point.
They had to work around so many things, and they didn't get everything right. I love Captain Marvel as a movie, but there are still flaws that it presented, just like Spider-Man Far From Home did, just like all the movies that are done after the fact of building on a universe.
Okay,
there's going to be plot holes. There's going to be things that don't really make sense. I can overlook them because I enjoy
something.
But why
would you accept it for Captain Marvel instead of Batman?
Because that one's already done. I can't control it. You're asking me about my opinion about something that is not done yet.
So
I'm saying if I had my druthers, that was an old person word, I feel like that. That was an old person word. I would have been here at the beginning saying, oh, let's have Captain Marvel in the first phase. But obviously, that's not, I don't get my way all the time.
So, here's what I say, because we're going to move on. But when, not, and I feel confident saying this is a when, mm-hmm. when we get that article that pops up in our thing that says DC fans are, you know, after Joker comes out, October 5th, when we're in here, and there's that thing that pops up that says DC fans are crazy about seeing Joaquin Phoenix's
Joker. Yeah, the thing I'll probably have to write?
Yes.
Yeah.
You were going to write it. That is
Why?
Yours to write.
Why?
That is yours to write because
I didn't
you said
want
it wasn't going
to
happen. You have to write what the now people you said were too smart to say are
going
to say.
No, I didn't say it wasn't going to happen. I said I don't want it to happen. That is not what I want. That's my opinion on what I want.
Yeah.
I do not have control. Who said that's the same people that say Disney pays me money or Marvel pays me money? I have no control over this. I said I don't want that. So I will definitely write it with a tinge of opinion and go, this is a stupid idea.
All right. There we go. There you have
it.
So, that was our first grenade, as you can see. It was very lively. A lot of people were caught in a blast, and that's the way
I apologize to all the people I called stupid. You're not stupid.
Yeah, you just alienated half our audience.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. When we come back, now you're going to have to listen to Matt talk again.
Yay!
He's going to break down
suckers.
The comics, and he won't insult you for liking some of them, I'm sure. And then BD's going to take us through his review of Gears of War 5, and we'll let you know how his compares to our official comicbook.com review. So stay tuned for all of that.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
All right, so now Matt is going to give the intelligent people in the room a rundown of what comics are out this week. If you're a dum-dum, don't try. A lot of these will probably be over your head, according to Matt. All right, so Matt, take it away.
Thank you for that setup, Kofi. So Powers of X, number 4, which we will cover in detail next show, because there's a lot to talk about with this. I'll just leave it there. We'll save all that for next time. Batman number 78 is the kind of, we're nearing the end of Tom King's run. This is one of the, for me, one of the best issues in a minute of that run. That run has been kind of hit and miss for me over the last few issues, but this one was really strong. I think fans who have been puzzled about the whole Batman Catwoman wedding fiasco thing, there is some closure there. There is some satisfying stuff that comes out between those two. But I think fans will be happy. Huh?
It's about damn time.
It is. It is about, you know, and then he's going to, I'm sure, launch his other series and all that. Gotham City Monsters mashes together like Killer Croc, Frankenstein, Tusk makes an appearance in this. It's a very interesting group of heroes that live in,
like,
not even
Justice
heroes.
Justice League Dark and Suicide Squad had a baby. That's
It's fun so far. It's interesting. Very different than kind of what I expected. But if you are a fan of Suicide, by the way, speaking of Suicide Squad, Jim had a rant. Had a quick rant about the new Suicide Squad, but what would you like to say?
I think it's a lame announcement that happened at a lame time, and Tom King needs to be on a bigger,
Tom Taylor?
Tom Taylor needs to be on a bigger book than a lame Suicide Squad title.
Here's the thing, though. He got to pick, I'm sure, the people he wanted. Suicide Squad is a premise that allows you to pick, like, all these D-list fun characters and just do whatever you want with them. You can kill them. You can do all kinds of stuff, right? I want to see Tom Taylor write that.
Right, but he's been doing that. But basically, every other DC book he's written, that's basically the premise.
Just is what?
Pick whatever characters you want and just
write deceased? In a way
that takes place. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's and Injustice and whatever. So it's like put him.
But this is in continuity. This isn't like a separate thing.
I mean, so he gets to do. Like, God likes to wreck people's toys. Like, let him wreck some more toys.
And he doesn't get to do that with, like, Spider-Man and all the other stuff. He doesn't get to do that with Spider-Man and some of the other stuff, so this will get some little flexibility. King Thor, number one, starts off Jason Aaron's big final arc on Thor. We've also got, Absolute Carnage, Symbiote of Vengeance. This book turned out to be way cooler than I expected. Mm-hmm. If you are a Ghost Rider fan, I feel like you need to read this book because not only is it just a really cool story kind of in and of itself, and it ties in a meaningful way, but it also sets up the new Ghost Rider book that is coming. And for the first time in a long time, I actually want to read that Ghost Rider book from this. There's some really cool things set up. So definitely check that out. So really far,
big, cool surprise return too.
Yeah. No, like there's a couple things in this, and it's just a one-off tie-in.
Absolute Carnage.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a meaningful thing, so very good. Of course, we're also going to talk about Captain Marvel number 10, because this actually reveals the origin and what's going on with Star, the newest member of the Marvel Universe, and it has ties to Minerva as well, and there's some interesting stuff there if you're a Minerva fan. So that's interesting. Moon Knight Annual number 1. This book is just a one-off. You don't really, you don't have to have read previous stuff. It'll make more sense if you did. But essentially, we get to see Moon Knight go back through time and visit all these old different variations of Moon Knight. So we get, like, you know, Tommy Gunn Moon Knight. We get Egyptian Moon Knight. We get Wild West Moon Knight. And there's all these different ones. World War II is probably my favorite because that costume looks so slick. If you're a Moon Knight fan, you should definitely check this out. And it's with Kang. You wouldn't associate Kang with Moon Knight as a kind of storyline and time traveling, but it really works. Also, Go-Go Power Rangers number 23. If you're interested in Shattered Grid and what kind of led up to the Omega Rangers, this delves further into that. We get a lot of details here regarding what's to come. And then finally, Warren Ellis comes back with Trees Three Fates, which is just a really popular sci-fi series, and it's been a minute since we've seen a new entry in this franchise, and so that number one comes out for all the people who don't want a superhero story.
If you like to play the comic book speculation game, look for a quick flip. Venom 18 is definitely going to be the book that you're going to want to buy. And quickly put on eBay, for sure.
And quickly put on eBay. It's a very Dylan-centric issue.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's comics.
Okay. There you go. Now you know what you're reading. Time to talk about what you should or maybe should not be playing right now. Mr. Brandon Davis, you have spent some intense quote-unquote research time with Gears of War 5 over the weekend.
Mainly staring at a loading screen. Yeah.
And we'll have an official comicbook.com gaming review up by the time you hear this. I believe that we are giving Gears of War a 5 out of 5, is what I've been informed. So that's what we're doing.
Which is fair. I've played quite a bit of it.
Well, I was going to say, that was my segue to saying, that is not quite the experience that Brandon Davis has had.
I mean, it's a 5 out of 5 when you get to play it.
Yes.
My problem is I've tried since Thursday, and I've played like less than 10 games online because the servers suck, which is nothing new to Gears of War. Gears of War has a reputation for crappy servers. It used to be the host advantage, and then like if you were a host, you'd automatically get a headshot and stuff like that. Mm. You just get the shot off first because your internet was there already. And then it shifted, and then it just became a crap server issue, and now it's the same thing. I guess they didn't anticipate people were going to want to play Gears 5 on release weekend. Well, guess what? We did, and we couldn't. So there's some stuff I really like about it. I mean, I really like the new hit marker thing. That, the way when you use the shotgun, instead of like a hit marker like on Call of Duty with like the little 4 markers to let you know to indicate that you hit somebody, it just shows a dot for each like spray of shotgun bullets that hit a person. So it all not only gives you confirmation that you hit them, lets you know how much you hit them with, so you kind of have an idea of how much damage you did. So that's cool. The new weapons are cool. The new maps are cool. The graphics are great. The story mode I've really just like turned on, basically. Mm-hmm. I guess that's, I don't know much about the story, but everything I've seen about the story looks great. 5 out of 5 seems fair. It's my favorite multiplayer experience for a Gears game when I get to play it.
So you have, so you haven't, because I assumed if you couldn't log on to multiplayer.
I couldn't log on to campaign either. Campaign oh, really? Requires there's internet.
I thought it wasn't.
There's a problem in that you have to be connected to the servers to be able to
play. Is it unified progression?
Huh?
Like, is it some sort of unified progression where if you unlock something or you gain XP in single player, it carries over to multiplayer?
Which is awesome, but then
which
it
is
needs
great,
to...
But then you, yeah. So, okay. So when I was down,
you gotta be in line for this.
Jim and I opening
it's
not night.
It's like a thing where it just keeps track of what you unlock, and then once you're connected, it just like syncs. Sends the information. It syncs? No, because you're getting that stuff in real time.
Yeah, so Jim and I, when the multiplayer ranked play, team deathmatch, that type of stuff was down, we were like, all right, let's go play campaign. Yeah. And we were streaming this online, and I think it must have been boring for people because we would go over and we switched to campaign, and then we just sat at a loading screen for like 15 minutes and had to reload the game and then tried to play solo. Couldn't play solo campaign. Mm. But they say it's gotten better. For me, I just go from loading screen to loading screen, from countdown to countdown, and it takes a long time for me to get into games. Jim and Tanner, our gaming guy here at comicbook.com, he says it's getting better. When I'm in games, I'm loving it. The game is smooth. It's the same Gears of War that my neighbors hate when I play because I yell and shout when I die. Like and there's one thing I would take out from multiplayer, it's being able to kill each other with a shotgun. Because multiple times...
I think that's only in that one mode.
I've played Team Deathmatch, I've played King of the Hill. If you have a shotgun and you both shoot at each other, both of you can die. Mm. It doesn't just kill, like there isn't like one person dies. It should be one person dies. If I shoot first, you should die. If you shoot first, I should die. There shouldn't be like mutual kills. That's my criticism.
Yeah, that's actually
you should not be giving your targets that much time to fire back.
I'll tell you.
I'm just kidding. That would be annoying.
So I mean, I love the game. I'm gonna play the hell out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, like
when it works.
Like the animations are great.
It's bloody as all hell.
Yeah, when you're in a match. They move they're fast paced is in sort of that way that you love from Gears.
I don't really care for the Terminator skins to be in Gears. Mm. I don't love that. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, they're a bit gimmicky, but
it's gimmicky. It takes you out of the Gears world. Really takes you out of the Gears
world. But you know what really takes you out of the Gears world? All those Rockstar unlockables, because it's all like bright neon shit. and you see that running around. Just like
but that's just a skin. At least it's like a low. At least it's like a part of the this. Like it's like a paint job. That's one thing.
I mean, I can't say anything when like I think in 3 we ended up all rocking like gold Lancers and stuff.
Like, I didn't like the gold Lancer though.
But I'm saying I can't get on the neon though.
Like, you've got Marcus coming out of a rave. Like
went to a foam party.
What? Don't judge him.
Maybe he likes to party.
God, you guys are nitpicking now. So Gears is still awesome. That's my takeaway from this.
It's best game for Xbox in a while.
Yep. But not a reason to buy an Xbox.
No, it's the I'm not falling for
that second grenade.
I mean, maybe the campaign.
Not
it's
falling
great.
For that.
Don't
touch it.
Yeah, not falling for that one, Kobe. No. I saw it. I saw the troll coming from a mile away on that one.
I'm just rapping for PS4.
I do have to say something.
Don't do it.
So, don't do what? What was I going to say? What do you think I was going to say? We had the whole dialogue on Twitter. What what I have to say is I do find it funny and ironic that I defended everyone's intelligence and then also called them stupid for not understanding.
That's about right for you.
Within the same block of time. So I actually do, because now my guilt, I don't know if it's like Catholic in me or whatever.
You are
the guilt in me. The guilt in me is already hit.
There's people who are never going to get to this point.
The guilt. Well, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. But the guilt in me is eating me alive. So I will say, I do actually apologize. You're not stupid. I still stand by what I said, though. As far as like, I do think people
learn
are smart enough.
Learn about comic book movies, dum-dums.
Are we canceling Matt Aguilar?
I mean, that's
cancel culture coming from Matt.
That's almost happened. I don't know how many times.
He almost broke Judaism. Like legitimately, religion has endured for thousands of years.
That's almost happened almost a long time. Yeah.
Over Wonder Woman. Like, so I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe. So anyway.
But I mean, they could be coming for him. But the tables are going to get turned really quick when they get into like it's going to be like Rambo, like get into his house.
And he's going to have all these Home Alone traps for them. Man.
Oh, man.
But, all right, so Matt making everybody mad is where we're going
to
leave
Welcome
off
to my
today.
Life.
That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation and our first grenade test. It's been a great one. If you're just now signing up for the show, you can always find new episodes Wednesday and Friday on comicbook.com. Or if you want to jump into these grenade discussions, because they are created for you guys to also jump in and, you know, toss a few grenades back our way, you can always hit us up at the hashtag Comic Book Nation. You can also subscribe to the show on your favorite listening platform. We're on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Google Playlists, and you can tell any Amazon Alexa device to play Comic Book Nation podcast, and it will fire right up for you. If you want to continue the conversation with any of us, I'm at Kofi Outlaw.
I'm Matt Aguilar, CB.
Take special note of that one. And Brandon?
I am at Brandon Davis, BD.
All right, so hit us up for anything or to tell us about your intelligence or whatever it may be.
I'm looking forward to those tweets.
Oh, yeah, these responses should be kept, right?
I'm looking forward
And to. If you can find in your heart not to give us a zero-star review after this one and continue giving us great five-star reviews on iTunes, we will be reading your reviews on the show coming up in the next episode or so, because I feel like we've shipped out everything we need to get shipped out. I've stopped getting angry messages about shirts, so that's a good sign that we need to do some more. So be sure to get them in, because the next batch of review readings on the show is coming. That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. We hope to see you guys next time if you aren't too mad at us. We're out of here.